Welcome back to the Multipod. I am your co-host, Ted. With me is your co-host, Sarah.
Hello.
And we are delighted to be joined by, for the first time since way back in episode number one of the Multipod, the Putty Tribe Connections and Operations Guy, Joel Zaslavsky.
Hello, world.
Yeah, we certainly turn to you for advice from time to time, but it's been quite a while since we've heard your voice.
Yeah, I still lurk behind the scenes and help out a little bit with the production team. But for the most part, you all have done an amazing job starting it up, keeping it going, and bringing awesome people with cool themes on the show. Mm-hmm. I am grateful to be back for another round of conversation.
Yeah, well, thanks very much. And it's true. It's been impressive, I guess, to think back on how far we've come doing this show. You know, time's flown. Here we are pretty much a year and a half in. And I guess it's all part of the journey. We didn't really know where we'd go or where we'd end up, and we've still got, I think, lots ahead of us. So it's been exciting.
And it's all thanks to all the putty amazing people that we have on the tribe. So it's not only our efforts.
So this is a big year for the Putty Tribe, because the first ever in-person conference is coming up in September of this year, of 2019. And Joel is here to talk to us all about it. And we'll get some of the background stories and learn a bit about what it takes to put together an event like this. And of course, we'll put our multi-potentialite spin on it in terms of the particular challenges or maybe mindsets and other things that come across doing something like this as a multi-potentialite. I can imagine just off the top of my head, one big question is that of focus, because, you know, you have a great idea to do a big event, something like this, but you know it's going to be a lot of work. Now, Joel's, of course, not the only one. We'll learn about the team who've been putting this together as well. But, you know, you get a few weeks in, maybe a couple months, and then, well, you start to maybe drift away to other projects and other ideas. This is the type of event, I'm sure, that needs a lot of focus, a lot of hard work, and kind of seeing it through to the moment of conclusion. So we're going to learn all about what is planned. I'm sure some of our listeners have their tickets and will be going. I will talk a bit, too, about if there's going to be much of a virtual element as well. I know there's been some chat about that, but you know, for those of us who aren't able to make it, it is in September in Portland, Oregon, in the United States. So let's get into it and start off with what exactly is the Everything Conference and who is it for?
Yeah, well, the original tagline was a multi-potentialite meeting of the minds, which is not horribly descriptive in terms of what happens there. But right in that tagline, if you will, is the word multi-potentialite, which features prominently in anything Emily Wapnick is involved in. And she is one of three co-organizers along with me and Vanessa Tharp, who is also a putty peep. And it's really 7 years in the making. You know, the Putty Tribe started in April 2012. I was one of the founding members. And I remember, in addition to it being my first online community, I'm very much an in-person kind of guy and face-to-face kind of guy. And I joined this online community. I thought, awesome. Now when can I hang out with you cool people in person? The answer was, hold on. We just opened up this community. Let's do some other things first. Mm. So Emily and I have spoke since we became friends, and, you know, I've been running the Putty Tribe for over 3 years now. We've spoken a lot about when is the right time to have a Putty Tribe inspired event. It's not just Putty Tribe members. We call them Putty Peep for those who aren't in the Putty Tribe. It's not just for Putty Peep. There are a number of multi-potentialites who are not in the Putty Tribe and never will be, and that's great. We want them to come as well, up to the limit that we have, which is 100 participants. And Vanessa Tharp came along and joined the Putty Tribe a little over a year ago, and I had her in one of my introductory huddles for new members. She and I were already friends, and she was just joking around, and she asked me, "So Joel, when's the Putty Tribe event?" And I said, I know, Vanessa, like, we'll do that at some point in time. She's like, no, we need to make this happen. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's figure out. Let me go talk to Emily and see if the time is right. And I had a chat with her, and she said, yep, let's do it. It was as simple as that. The time had come to...
So there wasn't hesitation at that point, once there was kind of the momentum.
Vanessa really was a big piece. She was the biggest piece of the missing of the puzzle, I should say, in that Emily and I both had a desire. I've organized events myself before, typically co-organized and co-hosted, but I've done multiple day 50-some person simple living themed events here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area in the United States where I live. I'm very versed when it comes to bringing people together. That's my overarching theme, and that's what I do. Emily's done some smaller stuff, like some retreats in the past, and we both had some hesitations that we brought. But Vanessa has amazing event experience in terms of design and organizing, and she was just the bright ray of sunshine and the friendly kick in the pants that I think both of us needed to say, all right, let's get serious now. Let's figure out how we can make this happen. Not can we make this happen, but let's figure out how to make it happen, which is a very different mindset to take.
I guess like when you finally make the decision to organize an event like this, you first need to decide what kind of event you want, right? And you obviously did, because you have a setup of 100 participants. And I want to know what's the vision for this conference, for this event.
It's similar to the Putty Tribe, which is a celebration of multi-potentiality, a place where we can find out what's possible together when you mix all of these amazing people from around the world, from different experiences, different ages, different cultures, but all unified by the same thing, which is we want to build a life around all of our interests. We don't want to be limited to just one kind of work or one kind of hobby. We want to do weaving, but we also want to do 3D printing, and we also want to do web design, and we also want to do community organizing and all these other types of things. So part of this is just a big experiment, which is the name Everything Conference comes from the fact that when you're at Everything Conference, everything is on the table. If you have an idea as a participant in terms of a format or a theme or a topic, whether it's improv play or a facilitated conversation or a workshop type thing or any unconventional format or discussion, if you have at least one other person who's interested, boom, go and have fun and create some kind of mini event within the greater event together. So we really wanted to see what, although we plan to provide a fair bit of structure, in 3 days, what can 100 multi-potentialites co-create and collaborate and come up with together? And that was just an experiment that we couldn't say no to.
So there is a structured agenda, but people can also kind of go off and do their own thing.
Yeah, so this is, we're talking in May 2019, and there's 4.5 months left until we actually do this thing. Things are susceptible to change as of now. The thought is there's really three elements to this event. There are probably workshop type things. I like to call them vision labs. I took that wording from an amazing book called The Art of Gathering by Priya Parker. Visioning labs has a better ring to it and a different mindset that people bring to it than a workshop. Sidebar over. So we'll have like workshop type things from a number of people who we, either Emily, Vanessa, or I, generally friends of ours, have already asked, hey, would you like to participate in Everything Conference? And these are some incredible humans that some people have heard of. Pam Slim, who is somewhat famous in multi-potentialite communities. Her book, Body of Work, is exceptional, and she's just an amazing human. Charlie Gilkey, he deals with multi-potentialites all the time. He calls them creative giants, and his productive flourishing empire and is just incredible. Lots of other folks who have said, you know, I will run a workshop on this, or and I can give examples later if you want me to. So we have kind of these bigger rocks where we have these amazing contributors. We'll give them freedom to decide how many people they want, what their theme is, what kind of indoor or outdoor space they want in this amazing venue we have called Tabor Space in Southeast Portland. And then we also have all these 89 other participants who are equally amazing to the people who we've reached out to. We want them to bring their gifts and their skills and their resources and their assets, and we're allowing them to propose any kind of activity, any kind of theme. Some of them will say, awesome, let's do it. Or yours sounds really familiar, like you want to do meditation and you want to do yoga and you want to do Tai Chi. Why don't the three of you have like a rest and relaxation or restore session on Sunday in the yard outside of Tabor Space, and we can match people up with each other? So that's the second element, is things that people will propose ahead of time. And then we, the organizers, will curate them. And then the third part is unconference model, which most people don't know what an unconference is, although some people have actually been to them, which is day of, with flipboards or post-it notes, you go and you have facilitators ask the participants, what is the conversation you want to have? What is the activity you want to do? Let's fill in the rest of the gaps in the schedule with all of your awesomeness, and let's do it right now on the fly. So we have these three different elements that we'll be weaving in.
Now, as an individual person going to the conference, how much can they expect to really participate? There's going to be so many options, I'm sure, so many things going on. So are people going to really face some tough choices about the things, the workshops or the other activities they can participate in?
Yes. There's no way around it. Our goal as event organizers is to have four or five different things going on pretty much all the time. And some of them are going to be self-care type things. There's knowing our community, most multi-potentialites identify as highly sensitive people or introverts. So despite the fact that I am not those things, Emily certainly is, and we know a lot of our people are. So we are intentionally designing the event to try to limit the amount of fear of missing out and FOMO that people will have. But it's inevitable. If there's three awesome things all happening at the same time, and you're a super curious multi-potentialite, like we all seem to be, unless you clone yourself, you're going to have to choose. And that's just the nature of the kind of event that we're doing.
Will there be summaries or some kind of reports of kind of everything that takes place so people could catch up or learn afterwards the thing that they missed?
I guess it's up to the facilitator or the person who is leading the activity or the conversation. You know, if I'm doing an improv comedy workshop for an hour, the summary would be, we talked about some really weird stuff and laughed a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much that helps people who weren't there. They probably expected that to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be recorded, so it's not like people can watch the video of what happened. Maybe there'll be a guided conversation about death and dying, which I might lead because that's one of my favorite topics to discuss. It's possible if I'm the facilitator, I might write a little recap of resources that were suggested or themes that we discussed. So I think Ted and Sarah, you'll probably get this as an answer to a lot of questions about everything conference, which is, it depends.
How it has been the experience of putting everything together?
Well, it's really fun. Emily and I, we work great together. And Vanessa has just fit in splendidly when it comes to the dynamic. And my default is to invite as many amazing people I know into the things that I am involved with. So that's been really fun as well, is to distribute. I won't even call it work, because it's just, a lot of it is just really fun to brainstorm creative event design or activities or who could be involved in what ways with all of these amazing people that we know and some of which who we look forward to knowing. That's super fun. In-person events, just the fact of bringing people together for 3 days and picking a place, that was surprisingly easy. We knew that we wanted to have it fairly small and intimate. One, because it's our first time doing this kind of thing, and it probably be too hard to do it the way that we want to, which is to say, we want each person to leave with new friends and new ideas and new things that they can continue to try when they go home. And if we had it bigger than, say, 100 for our first time, we weren't confident that we could create that kind of environment or make those kinds of promises to the people who are participating. There's elements that I don't personally care for, like selling tickets. I don't really like marketing. But fortunately, when you work in a team, you get to say, well, who's going to write the email or who's going to create a sales page? And we just kind of go back and forth. And as a group of three multi-potentialites, we have all these different skills and backgrounds. And it's really neat to just kind of say, well, we know that someone needs to do this. And even if it's not the three of us, let's invite someone we know to get their fingerprints on this event with us and to co-create and help in this specific way.
And will you have staff or volunteers on site, of course, during the conference to just help facilitate things?
Staff is not really a concept that is at play for everything conference. I mean, there's me and Emily and Vanessa, and we're event co-organizers. So if anyone is staff, we're staff. We intend to have 97 volunteers. Hmm. So we're going to have 100 people total, and there's three of us and then 97 of everyone else. And the goal is to have every single person who shows up, whether they actively do it or whether it's just kind of quiet and passively do it, is to think of themselves as a co-owner of this event and have the level of commitment where if they see someone who's having a tough time trying to figure out where this session is and how they get there, they will step in so that we don't have to have a number of ambassadors all over the place to guide people or to make curated suggestions about what they might want to do based on their interests right now. We've got a lot of ways that we're planning on doing that, and sometimes it won't work, but this isn't a typical kind of event where there's a clear line between staff and volunteers and ambassadors and participants. We use that word participant intentionally, which is that every single person who shows up is expected to participate in whatever way feels best for them.
Why did you choose Portland as the place to have the conference?
A lot of reasons. So first of all, Emily lives in British Columbia and Vanessa lives in Oregon. So for them, it's really easy to get there. I'm in the middle of the North American continent in the Minneapolis area in Minnesota, so it's not too difficult for me. About half of the multi-potentialites that we know are somewhere in the United States or the southern part of Canada. So knowing that although we wanted this to be a global event, and it will be, it was either East Coast or West Coast. And West Coast won out, one, because it was pretty convenient for us as event organizers. And if it doesn't work for us, then we can't do the event and then it won't happen for anyone. And Portland specifically because, well, Vanessa and Emily know it really well. I know it a little bit from my years of going to the World Domination Summit there in the summertime. And it just seemed like the energy of the city is super multi-potentialite friendly. The kinds of spaces that they have, the kinds of creative, artistic, but flexible spaces. There were a lot of those in Portland where there weren't as many in places like Seattle or Vancouver. So we wanted to keep it on the West Coast, and Portland just seemed like the perfect fit for a lot of different reasons.
And did you look for a venue that had 100 person capacity, or did the venue you found then determine the cap of numbers on the conference?
Kind of both. So Tabor Space, this place in southeast Portland, the main area that we're going to have has a capacity of 100 people. Although we may be able to open up a false door and have more space for people to roam. That's still to be determined. But we knew even before we considered the specific space that we wanted to have right around at 100. And then when we found Tabor Space and we found that it was affordable and had the kinds of art space and library room and meditation areas and this giant outdoor yard where we can see people kicking balls and throwing frisbees and doing yoga and all these things, we just thought that's the place. And as a result, there are some constraints, like we can only have 100 people in altogether without a fire marshal coming and saying, sorry, we're shutting you down because you just broke some laws.
What are your intakes, or what have you learned along this process of organizing these events?
It's really hard to organize events for multi-potentialites because we crave variety and diversity of thinking, of doing, of being, and showing up in the world. So when you think about knowing our people, which we know really well, and designing an event where they can be as engaged as they want, or also offer their gifts when they want, it's really hard to do that kind of thing when you put someone on the spot and you say, hey, you're a participant. You know, what kind of thing in the 3 days would you like to help with? What would you like to offer your fellow people? And then there might be 10 things that instantly come to your mind, and then imposter syndrome pops up. So we anticipate that a lot of people, especially on the first day, are really going to just struggle with the amount of energy that's there, with the amount of options that are available, and specifically with how they are going to show up, what version of themselves they're going to offer other people, since a lot of us have different personas based on the social context we're in or the physical environment we're in. So I think structuring things, having enough structure where people have anchor points that they can grab onto so that they don't feel like they're standing on quicksand, but also leaving it open enough where people can morph and evolve during the course of the 3 days. There's a really fine line there. And I don't know if we're going to nail it, but that's been really, like, philosophically, it's really hard to figure out, you know, how you have these different axes, this X, Y, and Z axis, and then like four and fifth dimensions of all these different multidimensional people. How do you make it so that each person can find their own sweet spot?
Is it going to happen that each participant are going to introduce themselves to the whole team and participants of the event?
Potentially. I have a really good opener for events of 125 people or less, of which this is, where there's a way within about a half an hour that everyone can introduce themselves in a meaningful way without having people be like, I'm doing public speaking right now. No, you're just introducing yourself to awesome people. Whether we do that or not is to be determined, because we have lots of other people who might want to contribute something at the start of the event. Like, they might have a better way, especially for this kind of crowd, for people to get to know each other. Maybe it's in groups of five or groups of 10, and maybe it's not all 100 at the same time. But within the first hour or two, people are going to know at least 10 other folks through some of the pre-event activities that we have in mind for them.
Well, let's talk a bit about the start of the conference, because it seems, I think that has set a lot of the tone and kind of helping people find their comfort level and kind of settling into things. So now it does start on technically on the Thursday, right? There's a social event. But when you talk about it starting, do you really think more of like the Friday morning, or do you take it right back to the Thursday?
Well, it starts on Thursday night.
Okay.
And it starts before people even get there. We have 4.5 months from now for most of the people who are already going to participate, where we sent them out a giant survey that asked them for lots of information about what should we put on your name badge. But it also asked them, what do you want to get out of this event? What perspective do you bring to it? What kinds of things would you like to offer? So it's already started. We will have a private Facebook group where participants can interact with each other. Vanessa and I are going to have monthly Zoom calls in advance of the event so that people can see each other and meet each other before we even get to Portland together and feel like they know at least a handful of people who are going to participate. Some of them will just be fun, quirky, 1 hour long things. Others, a participant might say, if you get me 15 multi-potentialites on Zoom for an hour, this would be amazing. And we'll nod our heads and say, yeah, let's try that. So it's already started. But the real start in most people's minds is Thursday night. We have a welcome party for 3 hours at this amazing space called Produce Row. And that's where we set the tone for everything else that happens, which is lots of activity, also quiet spaces for people to rest and recharge or step away, whether they need to for a minute or whether they need to for an hour, and lots of opportunities for us as event organizers and for our special participants to invite people into conversation, into play, into whatever people feel called for.
We can cut this off after if it's not appropriate, but I wanted to ask, like, how do you put price to this event, right? Like, do you research about other, I don't think there are any event like this one, but do you research about other similar events or conferences, and like, is all included, like food, rest? What kind of things do people get from what they are paying for?
Yeah. So we priced it to break even. There's no profit motive whatsoever. The only goal for us as event organizers is we're actually looking to break even to the penny. Like, we want to have $0 left. So we thought, okay, a welcome party costs, you know, $3,000 or so based on the space that we want to have and the kind of food and beverages that we want to have there. And to rent table space for 3 days and for those specific rooms, that costs $2,500. And to get snacks that we can put in table space, that costs X amount of dollars. So there are a number of things that we knew ahead of time where we priced them out. Some of them were estimates, and some of them we knew to the penny exactly how much we'd spend. And then based on the environment that we wanted to create and the kind of event that we were looking to design, we figured out what's the absolute lowest price that we can sell tickets for and still guarantee that we break even on this event. And that's how we came up with the first 40 of our 80 available tickets. We would sell for $400 US. Or if people wanted to put a deposit down, they could get it for a $100 deposit and $500 total over 2 months. Same thing with the regular price tickets, where yes, the price went up, but the way that we had budgeted was if we sell them in the amount for the price that we have, then we will be able to put on an amazing event, throw some money around, and then call it a day and not have to worry about money for a while longer.
Yeah, that's a huge relief.
So there's nothing in this that has the sponsors or people contributing, you know, anything like that. It's entirely funded by the participants.
Yeah, our only source of revenue is tickets. Mm-hmm. There will be no sponsors. There will be no exhibitors. It's a unconventional event. We think that people will like it that way. And, you know, some of us have been inspired by the way that World Domination Summit does it. That's explicitly sponsor-free and non-commercial. We've all been to those events as organizers and a lot of our participants. We love that kind of environment. We don't want people selling from the stage. Not that there is a stage, the figurative stage in this case. So yeah, we made the choice as well to have less money available, but also have complete creative control and also to create the kind of pressure-free environment that people really thrive in.
So has that made it any more difficult to organize if you're perhaps kind of counting the pennies, you know, and watching every dollar? Or maybe conversely, have you, and maybe Vanessa in particular, since she's done so much of this, I guess we'd have to ask her, but did she feel in a way maybe it was liberating that she didn't have to think about commercial pressures so much? I mean, as long as you reach that bottom line, but if you're confident about that, you don't have to deal with advertisers, you don't have to worry about sales and all this other kind of stuff. Maybe it's kind of liberating. It's a different kind of event in that sense alone.
I find it liberating, and I find the simplicity of eliminating a number of features as an event organizer that a lot of people deal with, which is finding sponsors, negotiating with sponsors, getting the physical banners to put up in various places of the event for sponsors. Again, for some events, that's totally appropriate, and people are just fine to do that. There's nothing necessarily wrong with all these different steps in organizing an event. We just, one, wanted the simplicity of not having to deal with it, and two, we felt like we could raise enough funds purely from the ticket sales that we didn't have to try to bring in a whole bunch of food carts or food trucks and then negotiate with them and say, we want 20% of the gross revenue for the sales that you get as a kickback to us from the money that you're making off of selling lunch to the people who are bringing to you. We didn't want to deal with any of that.
No, it gives you a lot of freedom. It's like, I don't know. It makes me think on myself. Also, like, I have a backup job that is right now that allows me to have creative freedom with my own and personal paintings and artwork. Hmm. And I don't have to worry about, I don't know, selling myself out.
It is a constraint though, Sarah. I mean, you are willingly accepting less money than you otherwise could. And so it's a choice that you make. And you realize that there are consequences and there are trade-offs that you make. There are certain things that we want to do that are nice to haves. We won't be able to do them because we don't have the money. But we won't be doing this event in the first place if we didn't think that we could do it the way that we want to and create an amazing experience for 3 days for people. And based on what's happened so far, we have a lot of confidence that that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it will. It's going to be an amazing 3 days for sure.
Have you, in the process of designing and putting this together, have any of you talked to anyone else in the Putty Tribe who has organized an in-person meeting in wherever they live? It could be anywhere in the world. But there has been a little bit of this that's happened over the years, right? Maybe just two or three people or maybe a slightly larger group in places like London or, you know, maybe New York or places like that. Have you reached out to any of them just to kind of get their feedback and insight into having a group of people like this get together?
Yeah, informally. I mean, we have putty people in London. Neil Hughes and Vicky Combs and some other people have for a couple of years periodically had anywhere from 4 to 10 or 12 multi-potentialites together for kind of an anything goes conversation and for 2 or 3 hours. And Everything Conference is similar in that way, which is anything goes and everything goes, hence the name. But a lot of what we just very casually do in terms of, hey, we all live in the same city. Let's get together. We're in the same community. We all are multi-potentialites. Doesn't apply to what we're planning on doing based on the size of the group, based on the length of the commitment. You know, 3 days is a pretty long time for a lot of people. And you can do a number of different things on any given minute or any given hour, knowing that this is just one of many hours that you have available. So no, it's not like we didn't want people's guidance or experience, but a lot of what we were trying to do and what we've done as a community in the past didn't seem like it would be directly applicable to some of the things that we had planned for Everything Conference.
Do you think one of the takeaways then, especially from the people attending, is that they may try to organize more in-person stuff? Or maybe even further to that, is there an effort in the Putty Tribe to try to get people to connect more in person?
Yeah. That's been a big goal from the very start. There's a reason why Emily made the decision when she opened up the Putty Tribe to send physical welcome cards to every single putty peep, regardless of where you are in the world. That's one of our favorite things that we do. The member directory that we created about 6 months ago is intended in large part to help people know where other people are around the world and whether they're traveling or whether they live there, giving people a easy way to get in touch with each other and to get together in person. So one of our big goals is with this online community, how do we get people hanging out offline in person? Everything Conference is the biggest way that we've found by far so far, but you can only do that maybe once a year because of all the work that's involved in it. So we're constantly trying to figure out smaller ways, more organic ways where people can self-organize and bring themselves together instead of having to wait for someone like me or Vanessa or Emily to say, hey, what you doing on September 12th through 15th in 2019? Want to come hang out in Portland for a while?
I suppose that leads into the next question I'm sure everyone is thinking about. Will there be another one? Do you think this will be the start of a tradition of conferences like this? Not necessarily annually, but do you think it'll lead to more?
Maybe. This is a big experiment. Thank you. That's the technical answer, right, Ted? It depends. we've had that question a lot. I mean, there are a number of people who really wanted to go And for whatever reason, financially, logistically, time-wise, they just couldn't. And there's a lot of people who are like, oh, I really hope you do this again next year so that I can participate. Or I hope you do this again and I hope you do it bigger so that I can bring my friend who wasn't able to get a ticket for whatever reason. All we're focused on right now is this first ever event. And then based on how that goes, based on how much work it really turned out to be instead of what we think it would be, maybe there are more people who want to get involved and come behind the scenes as well and play a big role when it comes to the design and the organizing of things. And it gets easier. And it's easier for us to say, oh, of course, this is nothing. We can do this 2 times a year in different places around the world. We can't think about that right now. All we're thinking about is this year, and then a couple weeks after we're done, we'll get together with everybody, with all 100 participants, and kind of have a bit of a review and say, how was it? What was good? What didn't work for you? If we were to do it again, how would we make it better? How would it be different? And then you either rely on people who participated to be so inspired and to have so much fun where they decide to have something similar, which would be amazing. I would totally support other people who wanted to have a similar version of this wherever they are. That's one of my joys, is to help people create events where they are so that they don't have to come halfway across the world like some of the people are going to. I don't know, Ted.
One step at a time, right? That's important.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's a fair question in the sense that, you know, some people may have launched something like this thinking that, you know, we'll start small, and obviously we'll focus on the first one, and then it'll grow into something really big. That's, I mean, it's an option, right? And I obviously get the sense that's not what you guys have planned. Maybe you wouldn't say no to it, but that I guess it really comes down to how much, it's kind of the theme behind it all, really, is that how much the in-person experience could start to grow within the Putty tribe, right, over the years to come. So this would be a huge, huge part of making that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it may also make people want to organize things in their in their own countries and invite other multi-people. Who knows?
Yeah, I would much rather see 20 small, great events happening all around the world than having some big blowout bash once a year in only one part of the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are different energies tied into those different type of events, right? I guess. Mm-hmm.
So September 12th to 15th of 2019 in Portland, Oregon, and you can still join the wait list for tickets, most likely. You can certainly go to the website. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this. You probably are. But when I first searched in Google for Everything Conference, there is another Everything Conference. And yeah, and it says it's a somewhat similar website, and it said November. I thought, oh, geez, did they change the date? So make sure you go to the right website, everybody.
Everythingconference.com. That is the appropriate one, everythingconference.com.
And in Oregon, not in London.
Right. Yes, because the other one's in London. Everythingconference.org is the other one.
We thought it was kind of appropriate. The other two Everything Conference events that have happened under different organizers, obviously, they've been religious inspired, in like specifically church oriented events. So although ours is not religious inspired, we're welcoming of all people, of course. We thought it was appropriate, based on the previous Everything Conferences, that we would have our event at a church, which is what Tabor Space is attached to, a church as well. So I guess we're continuing with a church-related Everything Conference theme.
Yeah, I've been to it. It's great. I mean, you see these churches probably all around the world, certainly North America, they're getting repurposed nowadays, and they can make for wonderful event spaces. You know, in their main sanctuary hall with the big big high ceilings and stained glass and stuff. And then you get the smaller workshop rooms and usually some kind of kitchen or, you know, it's a great space to bring people together in different settings as well. So sounds like a great choice. I guess the last big question then, I know it's been tossed around a bit. Will there be any kind of live stream or anything that people who can't attend could at least somewhat join in or follow along at some point during the weekend?
Maybe. I know that as an event organizer, I don't want to deal with that. There's a lot of technical setup that I personally won't have time for and that I don't feel well equipped to deal with. Emily and Vanessa feel the same way. And there's also something about the in-person magic that gets disrupted when you bring a virtual element into it. You know, a lot of events have a virtual way to participate in them because they're content oriented. You know, there's a speaker who's talking about this topic for a half an hour and you like them or you like the topic and you want to watch the recording, for example. Mm-hmm. Ours is a very spontaneous thing. And often the kind of conversation, especially the level of candor and intimacy, will be disrupted if we try to stream it to other people. At the same time, there have been conversations in the Putty Tribe forums about what might this look like. Who can bring their laptop and webcam and other things and share with us, or design specific kinds of workshops or specific kinds of activities that people could also remotely join who are not in Portland, which we're totally cool with. So all that to say, we're not trying to actively encourage or discourage people from creating a virtual element to it. If people have their own initiative and their own technology and they're willing to do their own audiovisual work and all that setup, I think there's space for it.
You said their own discretion then.
Yeah. We trust every single person who's going to show up. We know they come with the best intentions and we know that they have good discretion. So if they decide that they want to do something and they want other people who aren't physically present to participate in it because it'll add to the experience or because they just love these other people who couldn't show up so much that they wanted to, you know, create a Zoom room or whatever kind of environment for them to also peer in, or even better, I just hope that if people do something virtual, that'll be participatory in nature, that it won't be a one-way broadcast type thing, because the spirit of our event is to have people collaborating and co-creating and having fun together, not being passive. Although there will be times where people are just chilling, and that's wonderful too. So as long as the spirit of the event is maintained, anything goes.
It will be like a huge family gathering.
Well, you talk about, like, most of the conferences, it's a content experience and information experience, but that's not right. You talk about other conferences, it's about the content, it's about the information, and this one's about the experience. So by nature, you have to be there. When I think about participating from afar, because unfortunately I can't be there, I'll be working, but I wouldn't sit on my computer for 48 hours anyway and try to follow along. I imagine that as we have our huddles in general through the Putty Tribe, that maybe there'd be at some point a one-hour thing where whoever's there, it could be at the church place or it could be maybe somewhere else, but you know, people want to gather and have this great huddle, right? Where there's a whole bunch of people like sitting around on couches or around a table, and you have to have the computer to do it. And those of us who can't be there, we get to join in and just kind of hang out like we do in a huddle, but now you have a whole bunch of people who are actually all together in one place, and the rest of us can kind of feed off that for, you know, 60 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, whatever it is. But that's what I would think is a way to try to incorporate, because, you know, I can't be there myself, but I would be thinking about it that whole weekend, right? And to have a little opportunity, if I could, to just kind of catch a glimpse of what it's like, that'd be pretty cool.
I think we'll all be hard-pressed to stop people like Doug Walker or Oli or Vicky Combs or some other Putty people who are going to be there. They have some things in mind already, some of which I don't know about, nor do I need to know about. And I think some cool stuff is going to happen. It almost feels like it can't not happen based on the people who are going to be there and their ability to make cool things happen for everybody.
That's awesome. I wish I could go.
Well, this has been great. It's been really interesting learning all about how you've put it together and the mindset and the things we have to look forward to. We'll be hearing lots more about it over the next few months. And we certainly wish you, the organizers, all the best. I've organized events myself too, and I know how much work it is. And when the moment comes, you're just buzzing around and trying to keep everything in place. So it'll be fun. It'll be a challenge, but I'm sure you guys will have a great time.
Yeah. Thanks for giving me the space to talk about it. I am just freaking stoked or excited, in most people's language, about the opportunity that we get to do this. No one feels like they have to do this, that they have to put it on. There's just a lot of joy and a lot of gratitude that we have all these amazing putty peep and multi-potentialites around the world who feel as we do, that they want to have a event, they want to have a space where we can be our full selves instead of just a fragment of what we normally bring to events. We'll see what happens.
Well, lots of wonderful things, I'm sure.
Great. Well, thanks very much, Joel. We'll talk to you again for sure.
Thank you, Joel.